Radio 5. The unopened casebook of Sherlock Holmes. Six extraordinary adventures written by John Taylor. With Simon Callow as Sherlock Holmes and Nicky Henson as Dr. John Watson. The third adventure, The Paddington Witch.
During those years when I shared lodgings with Sherlock Holmes in Baker Street, Mrs. Hudson, our housekeeper, was always the most loyal, steady, and industrious of women. Hot drinks, clean linen, and buttered potatoes appeared in the right places at the right times, and with unfailing regularity, clocks were wound, lamps were turned up, and beds were turned down. But one year, just before Christmas, in Paddington Church Street, not far from our lodgings, a rather good bakery opened. And it was Mrs. Hudson's connection with this little shop that drew Holmes and me into the dark and strange events which I have taken it upon myself to chronicle under the title The Paddington Witch.
Did you not like your pie, Holmes? Mine was excellent.
Oh, it's no doubt a perfectly fine specimen of its kind, Watson. The combination of mushrooms with beef, however, is not altogether to my taste.
Mrs. Hudson gets them in especially, you know.
So she does. Should I conceal it in the coal scuttle, do you think?
Oh, no need for that, dear chap. I dare say I could finish it for you.
I'd be most obliged. Of course, Watson, I am banking on the probability that after eating two of these, you will have little appetite left for what follows.
Hmm? What does follow?
If you'd studied Mrs. Hudson's apron, my friend, you might have deduced it for yourself. Hmm? Flake of pastry dusted with fine sugar. Without question, Apfelstrudel.
Have you finished, gentlemen?
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. The pie was particularly delicious. Watson, as you see, is just finishing his.
Mm-hmm.
Is something troubling you, Mrs. Hudson?
Only, Mr. Holmes. Why should you think that?
I see you've recently scorched your sleeve against the fire. Not like you to be so incautious.
Well, sir, to be truthful, I have had something on my mind.
Please, you know I'm cursed with a voracious curiosity. Do sit down. Tell me.
Oh, very well. Thank you, sir. Well, it concerns that new bake shop in Church Street. Kate and Bess Smullett, the sisters who run it, were childhood friends of mine. I've not seen them for years until they opened the shop just before Christmas, when it was a joy to see them doing so well. Well, then suddenly, sir, about a month ago, Bess was to be seen no more, though they'd always shared the shopkeeping until then. Kate always made some excuse about her sister being out or unwell. But I knew something was up, and I made up my mind to go in there and find out what it was.
There you are, Mrs. Hudson. The bread and the steak pie. Let me put them in your bag.
Oh, thank you, Kate. You're quiet in here this afternoon.
I shall be closing soon. Mornings are my busy times.
Your busy times?
Hmm?
What the way you talk, Kate. I'll be closing soon. My busy times. You used to say we and our.
Just a manner of speaking. Bess, as you know, don't do so much these days.
No, was sick or out or away for a few days. I never see her, Kate.
I dare say she'll get over it. I wouldn't trouble yourself with it.
But I do trouble myself with it, Kate Smullett. Now, are we or are we not friends?
You know we are.
Well, then out with it. What's it all about? I swear, Kate, I'll not leave this shop until you tell me.
Oh, well, why shouldn't you know? Long as you promise not to prattle it round the neighbourhood.
Kate!
Now, I mean it. I don't want gossip spoiling my business. You'll understand when you've heard it. I suppose it started the day those Ransom brothers come knocking at our door asking for money and threatening the worst if we didn't pay it.
Oh.
Remember Fairburn, the pawnbroker?
Yes.
Burnt to the ground for daring to tell them what to do with their threats.
Well, and what about you and Bess, Kate? Did you pay?
We gave them what we could, but they said it wasn't enough. And then, just to show us what nasty stuff they're made of, they did a wicked thing. You'd better come and look. Here, in the coal bunker. There.
Good Lord, what is it?
Delivered to our door the day we sent those villains packing.
Well, it's some animal or other. Burnt to a frazzle.
Not just some animal. Jacko. Bessie's Jack Russell. She doted on him. Ever since it happened, she's been shut in her room, deep in some dreadful grief. But I'm breaking my oath to her telling you this, Martha, and you must promise not to try and see her.
But what can she be doing locked away like that?
Shh, not now. Look outside. It's him.
Oh.
Garth Ransom himself, the worst of those two wicked dog killers. Oh, I wonder what the villain wants now.
You open.
Yes, Mr. Ransom, for normal business.
It's my brother. He ain't too well. Belly ache. You told me your sister done a bit of doctoring on the side. Well, you can tell her I want a bit of her witching for our soul.
Let's have no witch talk here, Mr. Ransom. As for Bessie's gifts, it's true, she can soothe a cough and break the back of a fever.
And collie wobbles. You said she could work her ways on that.
I dare say.
Yeah. Well, you tell her she's to come and take a look at my brother.
We've the shop to look after, Mr. Ransom.
Later, then. If I have to put up with his moaning much longer, I'll put him out of his misery myself. This evening. Or you know what.
She'll be there.
But, Kate, I can't make sense of this. Well, if Bess won't leave her room, how will you persuade her to go to those tenements and minister to the man who killed her dog?
I'll find a way. You don't cross the Ransom brothers twice, Martha. Except in your dreams.
And that's the story, Mr. Holmes, more or less. Oh, it's that talk of witchcraft that's been playing on my mind. It might account for these sudden changes in her ways, if Bess Smollett really were tied up with evil. Oh, I'm confused, sir. What do you make of it?
I shall make more of it, Mrs. Hudson, when I know more facts. I hope you will keep me in touch with any further developments.
Oh, thank you, sir, I will. Well, now then, done with your beef and mushroom, Dr. Watson?
I have. I'm afraid I was unable to finish off the bit at the end.
Oh, leaving pie crusts at your age, sir. You should take a leaf out of Mr. Holmes' book, plate as clean as a mint penny. Now then, gentlemen, apple strudel.
Frost in the bones. Get it at the root before the flesh turns black. Got to heat the blood, lad. Right through like a toddy. Molten metal in the veins. Easy, Japan. Easy, boy. Let me be now. Won't take but a minute. There.
Mr. Holmes. Mr. Holmes.
Yes.
I'm sorry to wake you so early, sir, but up at the Smoky, something awful's happened.
Go and wake Dr. Watson, please. I'll be right down.
I met Holmes on the stairs, and in no time we were on our way to the tenements in Church Street, the Smoky, as locals called it, accompanied by Mrs. Hudson. We were there soon enough to...
He hollered loud enough last night, though, Mrs. Freeman. Oh. Thought someone was making sausages out of him.
Well, you wouldn't be laughing, Frank Bailey, if you'd saw what I'd seen.
Someone called for a doctor. Can I be of assistance?
Well, it'll be late, sir. Sol Ransom's well past doctoring. Besides, the coppers have just whisked him off to the morgue. Here. You're Dr. Watson and... Oh, Mr. Holmes, sir. I've not seen you in a while.
Mrs. Freeman, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, sir.
I take it you were a witness to what happened here last night.
Well, almost. We live right underneath them Ransom brothers, so we don't miss a lot of their tricks. About 3 o'clock this morning, their door goes bang and one of them comes down the stairs to the courtyard. So I think, right, he's feeding the hungry blighter. Let's hope he don't make too much noise about it. And then suddenly there's this great flash like lightning struck the courtyard. And that dog's yowling like a moonsick wolf. Oh, well, me and Ben come running down and, oh, found him here. Oh, I mean, what was left of him. Cooked like meat and black as coal. His face was about the only human bit left of him, and the look on that, oh, I don't like to remind myself.
Thank you.
Mr. Holmes.
Mrs. Hudson.
Mr. Holmes, I want you to meet Kate, Bessie's sister from the baker's shop. You remember I spoke of them, sir.
Indeed I do, Mrs. Hudson. Was it not Saul Ransom, the man who died here last night, whom they believed responsible for murdering their dog?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, but the thing is... Oh, you remember, I don't know. Sorry, I better let Kate tell you herself.
Mr. Holmes, Martha Hudson here tells me you're a man to be trusted.
I endeavour to be so, Miss Smollett.
This must be between yourself and me, sir.
And Dr. Watson, please. I keep no secrets from him.
Oh, very well, sir. It's my sister Bess. I'm afraid she may have had something to do with what happened here.
Oh?
She was aflame with anger after what they did to Jacko, and... I believe she had revenge on her mind, sir.
Understandable, perhaps.
That's not the whole of it, though. You see, sir, she's been visiting Saul Ransom for his stomach complaint. And she came here, Mr. Holmes. She came here last night. Now, Garth Ransom is saying she did for his brother. Oh, Mr. Holmes, suppose he was right.
Yet Saul Ransom died in the yard. And from all accounts, he was a large man. Do you think your sister could have carried him downstairs and set fire to him without his consent?
No, sir, but Ransom is saying his brother was witched, that it was Bess that witched him. And the thing is, she's gone, Mr. Holmes, disappeared. And you might say it's just like she was whirled away on a broomstick.
That afternoon, a most unusual tea party was convened at Wilson's Coffee House in Queen's Road. Its guests, Mrs. Hudson and myself, and Holmes had taken us there to go over the whole Smollett business once more in detail. A lot had happened since the death that morning of Saul Ransom.
Now, Mrs. Hudson, can I pour you some tea?
Thank you, Doctor. Oh, dear, this is all rather smart. I don't feel dressed for it, Doctor.
Nonsense. It's only a coffee house. Have a cake.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes. You're very kind.
Well, it's not all kindness, Mrs. Hudson. I have asked you here because I need your help with this business.
Oh, you're the detective, sir, not I.
You possess an insight I do not. You know the Smollett sisters.
But how will that help, Holmes?
I wish to describe the events of the past few weeks as they might be seen by an ordinary observer. Afterwards, Mrs. Hudson, I shall ask you for your own view of the matter.
As you wish, Mr. Holmes.
Capital. Then here goes. The Ransoms threaten the Smollett sisters, but because they are not satisfied with what they can extort, they kill and burn Bess's pet dog. Soon, Bess refuses to see anyone, leading to the speculation that she's either too sick with grief or too busy plotting revenge to bother with peddling scones and puddings. That she then suddenly agrees to go and heal Saul Ransom's stomach pain increases the suspicion, however, that she may be dabbling in occult practices. Soon afterwards, Saul Ransom himself dies in a fire and Bess disappears. The implications become stronger.
Holmes, you don't believe Bess Smollett is a witch, surely?
I'm merely sketching the conclusion which most people might be inclined to draw from this chain of events, Watson. Mrs. Hudson, what say you?
I say, sir, that Bess Smollett is a good soul and a God-fearing woman, and ever was, even in her childhood days. She is no witch.
That is your conviction?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, it is.
Good. Then we must look for another interpretation of the facts. However, it would be a shame to dash back to Baker Street without having another pot of tea. And finishing these eclairs.
Dark already. Are we nearly there, Mr. Holmes?
A few minutes, Mrs. Hudson.
Holmes, there appears to be some sort of commotion on Paddington Green.
Yes, and the way they're running to it can only mean misfortune for some poor soul. Cabby, take us as near as possible to the trees there, please. We'll see for ourselves, Watson.
I wouldn't go too near if I was you, mate.
Is someone hurt?
Well beyond mending, and it ain't a pleasant sight.
It's all right, I'm a doctor. Wait here, Mrs. Hudson.
No, sir, I'll come too. I'm not afraid.
Dear God. It's a body, all right, but blackened from head to toe like a stick of charcoal.
Help me turn it onto its back, Watson.
Right.
Oh, the features are burned, too. Just discernible.
May I take a look, sir?
Yes, Mrs. Hudson, of course.
You know who it is, I think.
It's Bess Smollett, Doctor. Oh, dear Lord.
Here, there's something here.
Let me see that.
It was stuck to that, to the body.
Rather crude writing. Can you decipher it, Holmes?
Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
It's Garth Ransom. That's who it is. He's done away with her in revenge for his brother.
Better get the police. They'll soon round the villain up.
Watson, yes, come here. There's something odd about this. You've seen bodies burnt on the battlefield.
Of course.
And smelled them.
I'm with you, Holmes. That awful smell of burnt hair and flesh. There is none of it here. An unnatural phenomenon.
Doctor, why must you always jump to the most remote conclusions? But there is actually something else. Look, something glinting inside the mouth. Hold the teeth apart from me.
Well, if I must.
That's it. There. And another.
Good Lord.
Two silver bright threepenny pieces.
What were they doing in the poor woman's mouth?
I believe the answer to that question would take us closer to knowing everything, my dear fellow.
The following evening, when I returned from some Christmas shopping, I found Holmes in good spirits. It was evident that he'd been shut away all day in his room, smoking a long succession of pipes and ruminating on the matter of Bess Smollett's murder.
I suppose you've not heard the news, Holmes. Garth Ransom is arrested for Bess Smollett's murder.
Mrs. Hudson told me. I was not greatly surprised.
They dragged him off this morning, protesting his innocence, of course.
Yeah, of course, but that's only to be expected, since he is, indeed, innocent.
Well, I believe you're the only one who thinks so. Now, Here's Mrs. Hudson.
It's your favourite, gentlemen. Mushroom and beef pie.
Ah.
I told Kate Smollett how much you'd enjoyed the others, and she's just now brought these round. Personal delivery. Though, to be direct with you, Mr. Holmes, she's more than a little cross with you at present.
Really? I've only met the lady once. How could I have offended her?
I was telling her you didn't think it was Garth Ransom that murdered her sister. She says she's quite sure you're mistaken.
Well, no doubt it comforts her to think the affair is sewn up. She's still with you?
She's staying for the evening, sir. The poor thing's grieving terribly. I'd better go down and join her if you've all you need.
Would you eat this for me, dear fellow? You know I cannot abide them.
I'm sorry, Holmes, I couldn't. I had a sandwich in Bond Street.
Then I shall shroud it in my pocket handkerchief, like so, and take it with me.
You're going out?
The Old Bailey, an appointment with a barrister of my acquaintance. Have a pleasant evening.
I bought myself a copy of Cranham's magazine today. I shall read about snow holidays in Austria. Good night, Holmes. Hidden paths take the traveller to the foot of the mountain, where water cascades from the glacier to form beautiful lakes of an impeccable clarity and shocking iciness. So cold is the water that it seems almost to freeze the blood of the traveller who dares to dip in a hand or a foot. Oh, dear, this is most disagreeable. Am I reading or dreaming about reading? It is almost as if I can feel the wind on the mountain. Oh, come along, Watson. How many times have you said to your patients, fatigue and too much food is the fuel of nightmares? And yet, it does seem so very real.
Oh.
Mrs. Hudson? Is that you? And Miss Smollett? What are you doing out here on the mountain? It's past midnight, by heaven, and devilishly cold. Oh. You must get back to Baker Street, you really must. Mrs. Hudson. Mrs. Hudson!
Dr. Watson.
Oh, Mrs. Hudson, I'm sorry. I seem to have come down with very unpleasant stomach pains. They're causing me visions. There is morphine in the medicine cabinet in my study. You would be so kind.
Certainly, sir.
Mother, is everything all right?
It's only Kate Smollett, Doctor. I'm in here, Kate. Dr. Watson's gone down with a touch of the colic. I'm about to fetch him some morphine.
Oh, not morphine, not for colic.
Miss Smollett, I am a trained doctor.
Does your head ache?
Yes, terribly.
Then no morphine. Here. Let's put out the light. Now, you leave it to me, Mrs. Hudson. I'll see to the gentleman.
Oh, very well.
I shall be down presently. Now, sir, this light is bright. Let me turn it down. Better? You're cold, I think.
It's this terrible wind. But, Miss Smollett, what on earth are you doing here on this God-forsaken mountain?
We're not on a mountain, Dr. Watson. We're in your room, sir. You've been unwell.
Am I dying?
You are very cold. There is a frost upon your forehead. Deadly if it gets into the bone. We mustn't let it.
How shall I stop it?
I can help, sir.
Can you?
You do everything I say, and we'll have you right as rain.
I will.
Coldness, so deep, only one thing can heal it.
Please tell me.
Why, heat, sir. A heat strong enough to thaw that glacier that is filling your veins.
Heat, yes.
You have a laboratory here. Can you make fire there with those chemicals? A big fire, I mean. One that will consume everything.
Yes, but fire is dangerous.
Not this, sir. This will be a healing fire. And you are terribly cold.
Yes.
If the frost were to reach your heart...
Yes, I must do it.
Good. Can you get up?
Yes, I think so. My hands are so white.
You poor man. But it will soon be better. Go on. You can do it. You must. I'll wait for you here.
Thank you, Miss Smollett.
You're very kind.
Frost in the bones. So deadly. Only one cure. Enough to consume everything. We need more than that. It must be a big fire. A healing fire. Just a small flame to the fuse and it will go. It will go like a confounded ammunition dump. Yes, but it is a healing fire, my boy. Light it. Light it now, man. Hold it close now. When it blows, it will hurtle the ice in the flesh to the far ends of the universe. Embrace it, then.
Watson!
No!
Get out!
Give me that!
I can't! I'll die!
Watson, for goodness sake, man, let go!
No! No!
The darkness that descended upon me in that moment, like a black canopy, seemed to last for 1,000 years. When I opened my eyes, it was still dark outside, but I was back in the sitting room, lying in a chair, and the clock told me that it was early morning.
Dr. Watson, are you feeling better, sir?
He'll be all right, as soon as the poison leaves his system.
Poison? Holmes, what has been going on?
You recollect that I took away in my pocket handkerchief last night one of Kate Smollett's beef and mushroom pies. Well, it was a fortuitous act. While I was at the Old Bailey, an idea occurred to me. I dashed round the corner to Bart's, where my old colleague Ashley Hockett was still at work in his laboratory. You remember him, Watson, a quite brilliant chemist. Well, I gave him that pie to analyze, and the ingredients turned out to be a rather lethal mixture. Apart from normal edible mushrooms, there were two sinister varieties included in the recipe. Rusala emetica, which produces symptoms of colic, and Panaeolina foensecchiae, which induces, amongst other things, hallucinations and feelings of being persecuted, as well as extremes of physical sensation, heat, cold, and pain.
Kate Smollett did that to me.
It was nothing personal, Watson. The pies were meant for both of us. She feared we knew too much. The plan was to get us to destroy ourselves by fire.
Just as Saul Ransom did. Only on that occasion it was Bess Smollett who bewitched him.
Bess Smollett did nothing of the kind. She was already dead.
Huh?
Murdered, actually. In fact, one might say she has the rare distinction of having been murdered twice.
Holmes, what can you mean?
When we've had some tea, Watson, we shall visit Kate Smollett at her baker's shop. And then you will know everything.
You'd better tell me what this is all about, Mr. Holmes. It's 4:30 in the morning and I've bread to bake.
I merely thought you'd like to see that Dr. Watson is quite recovered from his ordeal last night.
It isn't often a man dies of the collywobbles, Mr. Holmes.
On the other hand, it is rare for a man or woman to survive a fireball.
I'll have you remember, sir, that my sister is freshly murdered and that I am still grieving the loss.
And I'll have you remember that her murder is not as fresh as all that.
2 days,
more, sir. Like a month, madam.
Are you implying something?
That you have not been as truthful as you might have been, Miss Smollett.
I warn you, sir, not to press me on this. Out of this shop, sir, and off with you. And take Mrs. Hudson and the doctor with you. The consequences won't be good if you rouse a demon in me.
Be careful, Mr. Holmes. That's witch talk.
No, no, Mrs. Hudson. Just idle threats. Sit down, Miss Mullett. Sit down, I say. Thank you. Now, it was, as I said, about 4 weeks ago, while the sisters were preparing their Christmas puddings, that Kate Smollett murdered her sister...
Now, see here!
...by holding her face down in the Christmas pudding mix until she suffocated, which, of course, is how she came to have 2 threepenny pieces in her mouth, sucked in her desperate struggle for breath. As for Jacko the dog, he had to be disposed of, too, for a dog will sniff out its mistress, dead or alive. That might ruin the entire game. Having killed the dog, Miss Smollett attempted to burn both corpses in the bread oven, but it was not hot enough and only singed and charred them. She had to find a way, then, to get rid of these blackened bodies. In the meantime, Mrs. Hudson, she strove to trick you and her other customers into thinking that Bess was still alive. All that nonsense about locking herself away in her room.
But if Bess died a month ago, who killed Saul Ransom?
Why, Kate here, of course. One of the Ransoms was sold a poisoned pie, and she knew one of them would eat it. It didn't matter which. The other one was fairly certain to come to Bess for help, since Kate had made it known her sister was a healer. But it was Kate who went to visit Saul Ransom, not Bess, and it was Kate who sweet-talked him into setting fire to himself in the yard. Of course, the brother, by swearing revenge, played into Kate's hands, drawing suspicion to himself and enabling her to dump Bess's body on Paddington Green, knowing he would be blamed. It worked. Garth Ransom was arrested for the murder of Bess. But Garth, of course, could never have set that body alight that night. If he had done, it would still have been smelling of cooked meat. It was long dead already.
Oh, Kate, why did you want to kill her?
I admit nothing. But I tell you this, Mrs. Hudson, you might try living with a woman that people are forever telling you is a living saint. In the end, drives you to distraction.
And yet to kill twice for jealousy? I must warn you, Miss Smollett. And before we set out, I sent a note to the police. They will be here presently.
What? They're not... But you haven't heard the whole story.
Time to tell that later, perhaps. There's no remedy for it, I'm afraid. You must get ready to go.
Must I? Very well, sir. Then I had better go and turn down the ovens. If you will give me a few moments.
Holmes!
It's all right, sir. There's no back way out. Oh, dear, what a dreadful thing. And what's queer is, do you know what I was just thinking to myself? What will the folk round here do for bread today?
Watson, I shall follow Miss Smollett into the back, just to be sure. Wait here with Mrs. Hudson.
What is that?
An oven being vented to whip up the flames.
But she said she was turning them out.
Quickly.
Kate? Kate! Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
And so it was that Paddington lost a good bread shop and Mrs. Hudson a good friend. And I joined Sherlock Holmes among the ranks of those forsworn never under any circumstances to eat another beef and mushroom pie, no matter how fresh.
In The Paddington Witch, you heard Simon Callow as Sherlock Holmes and Nicky Hansen as Dr. Watson. Mrs. Hudson was played by Jill Graham, Kate Smollett by Gilly Mears, and Mrs. Freeman by Geraldine Fitzgerald. Jonathan Taffler and David Thorpe appeared as Garth and Saul Ransom. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Unopened Casebook of Sherlock Holmes is written by John Taylor and directed by Peter Hutchins.
And there's another mystery for Sherlock Holmes.